Hare Krishna. Welcome to everyone. We will begin with a question answer session for about 1 hour. So I hope that all those who wanted to put their questions here have made good use of this basket. And should I pick the questions, Maharaj? Yes. Yiraj Maharaj ki. Shri Sachinandan Maharaj ki. Shri Laburajan Prabhu ki. First question. In Adi Purusha Prabhu's class, it was stated that one of the symptoms of bhakti with intent to please Krishna is that the devotee will smile more. However, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada did not smile all the time. Any comments? So this is a comment. We want to comment on this.
In the early days of ISKCON, one of the devotees saw a picture of Srila Prabhupada and said to him, "Srila Prabhupada, you look so sad in this picture." And Srila Prabhupada replied, "That was a moment of ecstasy."
An address to Burijan Prabhu and Sachinandan Maharaj. Why does Krishna has to show millions of universes and the cosmic creation to Mother Yashoda when she opened his mouth? Since he is relishing parental love from Mother Yashoda, why did he do so?
This is very mysterious. No. Actually, Krishna didn't do that. He didn't manifest it. He didn't desire it. His only desire was to not get punished. And his Aishwarya Shakti, because whatever Krishna desires must happen. And Krishna's Aishwarya Shakti is opulence of power, powerful potency, said all. I have to protect Krishna. So this was the means that the Aishwarya Shakti used. Because Mother Yasoda, when she was thinking of punishing him, and looked in Krishna's mouth and saw the universe, and she went, and she forgot all about punishing him. And Krishna went,
next question.
Oh, there's one more little part. But then Krishna thought, if Mother Yasoda is like this, who will feed me? And then when he thought, who will feed me, then his another Shakti manifested and covered the Aishwarya Shakti. And then Mother said, oh, la, don't eat dirt.
Why does Krishna kill the demons in his Vasudev form in Vrindavan?
See, there are many aspects of Krishna, and Krishna as the dear beloved child of Mother Yashoda, the friend of the Sakas, the beloved of the gopis, and the prince who has servants following him to carry his flutes. In this aspect, the Lord relishes the sweet exchanges. And when he kills the demons, then another aspect comes forth. It's almost like, I do not know, but men can understand this. You're very peaceful, and then all of a sudden, a band of gangsters surrounds you and may attack the friend who is just next to your side. So at that moment, a mood manifests. You don't talk peacefully with your friend. All of a sudden, the warrior arises in you and makes schemes how to either defeat or escape the situation gracefully. It's a whole different aspect. Now, Krishna, when he gets into a mood, he manifests a form, the form of Vasudev, the four-armed form in which he is better equipped to fight with the demons. And that's him. It's not just a mood, it's a form which comes, the Vasudev feature. I would suggest you keep the enthusiasm in your heart, because we are really fighting with every second here. No need. We are not in a political assembly.
Next question. I heard that Krishna Katha is very concentrated, but our consciousness is limited. So it is blocked, and we cannot perceive Krishna Katha properly. We can only perceive it on the subconscious level. How can we widen our consciousness?
One approach is to hear again and again and again. As we heard last night in Jagatarini Mataji's beautiful katha, when Krishna sent his message to the gopis, he instructed Uddhava not to try to rely on his own intelligence or devices, but just to repeat what he had written in his letter. And so Uddhava repeated each sentence three times. And each time, the gopis got newer and deeper meanings. Srila Prabhupada gave us the same instruction. When the Nectar of Devotion first appeared, it was one of the earlier books. And the philosophy and pastimes become very high quite soon into the book. And the disciples asked Srila Prabhupada, what should we do if we don't understand something? And Srila Prabhupada said, you should just read it again and again. He didn't want us to speculate. He said, just read it again and again. And this is really Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. You should regularly hear, constantly hear. And one of Srila Prabhupada's last instructions in his purports to the 10th canto, 13th chapter, is discuss Srimad Bhagavatam daily as much as possible. The more you discuss, the more the matter will become clarified. So, I won't repeat what I just said three times, but I'm sure you understand the point. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Maharaj. The next one is asking for a comment. It's a question for Burijan Prabhu. Krishna descends for two reasons. The first one, to establish dharma by killing asuras, just as in the Kurukshetra war. And secondly, to nourish the devotees by enacting his pastimes. It seems to be that in the present ISKCON scenario, we mostly absorb the devotees engaging their propensities in the first reason to establish dharma, rather than engaging them in purifying themselves and preaching the principles of pure devotional service, meaning nourishing the devotion. Please comment.
What? Saying someone wants to correct this con, it sounds like. Do I have it right?
It's just
change. But what are we doing here? That's the part I can't understand. Here, we're hearing about Krishna continuously. We're chanting Krishna's names. How does that fit into what this question asks?
It says that on one hand, Krishna comes to establish dharma. On the other, he comes to nourish the devotees. And his impression is that ISKCON is more into engaging all the devotees in establishing dharma and serving his first.
But what are we doing here is my question to the questioner.
Yes, what are we doing here?
Someone could have asked that before the retreat, but not after the retreat.
Maybe the person was asleep during the classes. So that is why we have these kind of programs, is to serve the other aspect. All right. Next question. Demons in Krishna Lila, do they appear always in the same order, or do they appear in different schedule in other appearances? Do they appear by their own free will, or are they bound to appear in a certain order?
I have two things to answer to this. We always see, as we read the scriptures, that the order of sequence is sometimes changed. So I assume that Krishna sometimes, for variety, changes also the order of demons entering his lila. Now there is another aspect which I think you will relish very much, is that Krishna also may change the lila with the demons themselves. For instance, it is said that sometimes Krishna punishes Kaliya for polluting the Yamuna and killing so many animals. He punishes Kaliya, and then he makes a rope out of some cloth, puts the rope in the nostrils or through the nostrils of Kaliya, and begins to ride on Kaliya and comes into Kamsa's court, riding on a multi-headed, tremendous snake, and gives Kamsa a solid and healthy shock. So Krishna is free to do some variety in his lila as he pleases. Hare Krishna.
Next question. How to be genuinely regretful?
This example is given by Ajamil in the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in which he deeply regretted his misdeeds. And Srila Prabhupada's comments in the purport that we should also lament, like Ajamil, for our wayward behavior. So we learn from the examples of devotees in Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srila Prabhupada says that when we consider where where we were and where we should be, we should lament. And those feelings arise naturally when we chant and hear offenselessly. As one God brother often says, you know, in I guess marital counseling or any type of counseling, generally the counselor will advise each party to see that, you know, that there's good and bad on both sides, that the fault is not just with the other person, but, you know, some of the fault is with you. But in the case of Krishna, it's not that some of the fault is in him and some of the fault is in us. The fault is entirely ours, not at all his. And when we realize the magnitude of what we have done in turning away from Krishna, we will naturally feel remorseful and repentant. But as we've been hearing, we shouldn't just become self-absorbed in our own lamentation, but we should become genuinely humble and crawl back to Krishna and beg him to forgive us and accept us, or at least show us the way by which we can come back to him. And in that humble mood, he will reciprocate. As we've been hearing day after day after day, Krishna is merciful. He wants us to be with him. And he may find different ways, different educational devices to use on us, but ultimately that's also his desire. But first we have to become humble. Hare Krishna.
Next question. In early stages of Krishna consciousness, we feel lots of enthusiasm, but at the same time, but as the time progresses, we feel like not having that much enthusiasm. How can we always keep up with enthusiasm?
Hare Krishna. So this is a practical question that requires a practical answer. How to keep enthusiastic? And it's quite similar in one sense to the previous question, how to experience regret, genuine regret. And it's also similar to a question that I heard Srila Prabhupada answer in Melbourne in 1975. Prabhupada was sitting on the stage in the Melbourne Town Hall, and someone with all the devotees surrounding him, the temple devotees surrounding him, and someone raised their hand at the question time and said, "How do you become sincere? So how do you become regretful? How do you become enthusiastic?" It's actually the same answer. How do you become sincere? And Prabhupada replied by saying, "How do you become a drunkard? If you want to become a drunkard, just associate with drunkards. If you want to become sincere," and then he pointed to the devotees, "associate with them." So, at least I went. So if we want to be enthusiastic, we associate with those who are sincerely enthusiastic. If we want to be sincere, we associate with those more sincere. If we want to be filled with humility, we associate with those who are devotionally humble.
Where is Krishna? Is he in Vrindavan or in Mathura? What is the difference between Mathura and Dwarka? Why did Krishna go so far away from Vrindavan? Is Krishna's eternal home Vrindavan, and then he goes to Mathura and Dwarka only for killing demons? Is this only in the material world?
These were many questions. If you allow me, I would just like to try to answer the question, where is Krishna? But you were asking Vrindavan, Mathura or Dwarka. He's everywhere at the same time. I would like to recommend for different devotees. For different devotees, he is in Mathura. For different devotees, he is in Dwarka. In his lila, we can see a progression. Krishna left Vrindavan in one form, went to Mathura. Then, after 25 years of staying in Mathura, he went to Dwarka. So that is a progression of one dimension in his lila. In another dimension, he always simultaneously stayed in Vrindavan and in Mathura and in Dwarka. There is, however, now I would say a personal level. Where is Krishna for you? Where will you find Krishna? And this totally depends on your cultivation of Krishna consciousness. See, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the founder of the Hare Krishna movement, and Srila Prabhupada, the modern founder acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, both point towards Vrindavan Krishna. In the 18th chapter, verse 65, Prabhupada said one should not worship Ram, one should not worship Narsingha, one should only worship Krishna who plays the flute. And this flute-playing Krishna is in Vrindavan. It is for this reason that Bhujan Prabhu and the Vrindavan Institute for Higher Education have started this retreat here so that devotees can get to know Vrindavan Krishna, the flute-playing Lord of Love, who will never let his devotees go once they surrender to him. So this, I feel, once Lord Chaitanya asked the question, where is Krishna? And Gadada Pandit, who was there, said, in your heart. So Lord Chaitanya was so eager that he started to take his fingers and somehow rip open his chest, you know. And then Gadadha was answering, stop, he's just now coming there. So I think also like this, Krishna is present in our heart, but in order to find him, just now coming, we need to cultivate Krishna consciousness in a particular mood, and it is highly recommended to worship Krishna in the mood of the Brijbasis. Now, if for some of you, this hearing about Krishna and how he feels and how he cries and how he deals with his mother and how he doesn't want to be punished, if this is an overdose of sweetness, I would really recommend you to find Krishna in the pages of the Bhagavad Gita. We have often seen in when devotees from the West come to Vrindavan, this emphasis on Krishna, the sweet Lord of Love, is sometimes a little difficult. They need also the Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. Now, I highly recommend that you also get to know him as he speaks the eternal wisdom of the Bhagavad Gita, because that will help you to really understand Vrindavan Krishna better. He's the same person, but with added sweetness. Hare Krishna.
Question. If we have a lot of false ego, greater than 99% of my body weight, can we pray while chanting to Krishna or Giriraj to reduce or remove the false ego?
Of course, we can pray for whatever is favorable for our devotional service. Our ultimate goal is pure love for Krishna. But our prayers will be more meaningful if they come from our hearts. And if we're struggling with some specific issue like false ego, we can certainly pray to them to be relieved of that burden. Hare Krishna.
I just want to add to this very nice comment. But if you ask Krishna for this, then don't complain if he comes and he takes his hammer and puts you on the anvil. He doesn't take the small hammer to make ornaments, but he takes the big hammer to crush your false ego. Don't complain at that time. You have asked for it. Hare Krishna.
And also, we could also pray for real ego. If we pray, Krishna, allow me to serve you, then we're established as Krishna's servant, then there's no more false ego.
There are so many anxieties which are distracting us, it seems, from the essence. Some of them are related to spiritual practice. For example, will I have enough time for chanting today? Will I be in good association? Will I remember the important instruction? Will I be equally enthusiastic 10 years from now? And so on. So these are some of our anxieties. But what should we actually be anxious about? Which anxieties are beneficial for us?
Well, Prabhupada always spoke about anxiety in Krishna's service as being spiritual. And he even was in anxieties about his service to Krishna. He said Giriraj Maharaj can correct me, he said when he thought that money was being wasted or stolen, he was in relationship to the Juhu temple, he said, how can I sleep? Eat? Yes, he did correct me, thank you. So there's a kind of spiritual anxiety, and the center of spiritual anxiety is pleasing Krishna. And the center of material anxiety is pleasing me. But what I would like to recommend, if one is in anxiety about anything, then instead of just, as Prabhupada said in one comment that I read in when we were in Barsana, he said that simply worrying is not good enough. One should act. The Lord helps those who help themselves. So if we're in anxiety about, will I have enough time to chant my rounds, then you think immediately, what is my next action step? What should I do right now so that I will have time to chant my rounds? If I'm in anxiety, will I be enthusiastic in 10 years? That's already pretty enthusiastic. But But then what is the action step in that is that I should be enthusiastic now. So what should I do to be enthusiastic now? I should chant nicely. I should associate nicely. I should pray to Giriraj. So don't get caught just swirling around in your mind with anxieties. Act, because the Lord helps those who help themselves.
A question for Sachinandan Maharaj regarding the Brahma Vimohan Lila. Did Brahma find out only 5,000 years ago about Braj Ras and Braj Bhakti?
I'm trying to. When such a question comes, we need to go to something which is known and start from there. I know that Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago here with his holy Dham. I cannot answer this question very satisfactorily. Do you know?
Well, in the Brahma Samhita, which was spoken.
Well, I shook my head because I was thinking the same thing. So I'll say what I was going to say, and then you can give the deep purport to it. But in the Brahma Samhita, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's commentary, he says that Lord Brahma, in his trance of pure devotion, realized that he was the eternal maidservant of Krishna. Although other details of being the maidservant of Krishna were not revealed to him at that time. So, first, my little speculation, and then Burijan Prabhu's deep purport. That some details of what Vraja Bhakti was or is were revealed to him in the Brahma Vimohana Lila that were not revealed to him in his original trance of pure devotion.
Yes, I've got a good answer.
And the Gopal Tapani, in the Chatasloki Bhagavatam verses in the second canto, ninth chapter, there's a purport by Srila Prabhupada where he quotes Gopal Tapani Upanishad that says that right in the very beginning of creation, when when Brahma was meditating and on the syllables tapa, on austerity, then eventually Krishna appeared to him in his form as Gopal and took his hand at that time. So Braja Bhakti has been with Brahma since the very beginning of his existence. But then the question is, well, how come he forgets? And we answer in a simple way that it's Leela. This is Krishna's Leela. And we can also answer that the consciousness of these great souls who are so much greater than us, unlimitedly greater than us, practically speaking, we cannot understand it. We cannot judge good or bad. We cannot understand exactly why they act the way they do. Just like a 2-year-old child can't understand the way their adult parents are acting because they're not yet mature enough. So Brahma's forgetting is not, and remembering again is not like our forgetting and remembering again. It is something exalted, and it is something connected to Krishna's pastimes.
The next question is for His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj. Something from the Nectar of Devotion. Resolving some contradiction. We hear Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beach, which says that one gets the Bhakti Lata Beach from the spiritual master. But we also hear that love of Krishna is lying dormant within the heart and it has to be awakened by hearing and chanting. How do we reconcile these two?
In Srila Prabhupada's purport to this verse, Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavana Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Beej, and in the subsequent verses and purports, he explains that at one stage he says the seed is the idea, but then he also says that the seed is the methods, the ways and means to achieve the goal. So although it's true, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema, love of Godhead is eternally situated within the heart, that love is awakened, sudha chitte, by purifying the consciousness by chanting and hearing. So the two are not actually contradictory. The love of Godhead is there, but it needs to be awakened, karayayudai, by some method. And the spiritual master gives that method. He gives the instructions. He gives the idea. He gives the taste. We heard one definition of the Bhakti Lata Bija's taste. Another example from Chaitanya Charitamrita is the apparently poor person who consulted an astrologer, and the astrologer told him, actually you're not poor. Your father left you a great treasure. You're actually very rich. So where to find the treasure? You know, not in the north, not in the west, not in the south, but in the east. So the treasure is there. Love of Godhead is there. But we need the method to uncover it, and the guru gives us that method. Guru or gurus. Hare Krishna.
How should we act towards devotees who are not acting in a humble way, especially if they are senior to us or on the same level?
That reminds me of two stories. One was, there was one child in the schoolyard who was this big, and he was beating another child in the schoolyard who was this big. The one this big was beating the one this big. So the teacher came over and started beating the bigger one and said, I told you never to beat anyone smaller than you. So that is not good teaching. So, and another story it reminds me of is even much deeper. When I asked Prabhupada in Hong Kong, how should I treat a sannyasi who had left ISKCON but still acting as a sannyasi? How should I treat him? And Prabhupada's reply was, with respect. A Vaishnava treats everyone with respect, even an ant.
Sachinandan Maharaj, you mentioned that Govardhan manifested as love from the heart of Krishna. Where can we read this pastime?
This pastime can be read in the Gaga Sanghita. There is a purport by Srila Sanatana Goswami who endorses the Gaga Sanghita as a source of authorized information about Krishna, and it manifested really when Radharani asked Krishna for a place which was very suited for their personal meetings, their personal coming together. And at that time, from Krishna's heart, a sprout manifested, which began to grow. Something out of Krishna's heart, which responded to the love of Srimati Radharani. Now, that is one. So that is where it comes from. But I would like you to think for a moment. When you look at Giriraj, have you noticed? Should we help you to? Is something amiss? Mm-hmm. Someone is amiss. When we look at Giriraj, now if he would just be a mountain and not Giriraj, who's full of love and compassion and so on, you wouldn't feel the way you feel. We talked about this yesterday when we walked with some devotees alongside Giriraj, and we kept looking at him, and it was obvious he was an open mystery. A mystery because, yes, for our eyes he is a particular rock formation. I believe it is unique. Only in Hampi you find something similar, but it is not exactly the same. But as you gaze at Giriraj, and there is something more. It's not just a rock. It's not stone. It's not that all of us here are totally blind and talking ourselves into something. And what the fact is that many of us, I would say most of us, feel some incredible attraction to Giriraj, and we want to pour out our heart. We are not shy to reveal to him confidential things about us, which we would not even say to our neighbor next to us. There is something which we all feel. It's not just some statement from some ancient scripture. There's something very loving about him. So, Hare Krishna.
How do we practically take shelter of Krishna in very basic circumstances? For example, if someone pushes in front of me or sits with their knee in my back, is it okay to say something to the devotee? How do we take shelter of Krishna in these times?
That is a very good question. Because Burijan Prabhu has been raising the question all along, where do we take shelter? You know, when push comes to shove, where do we take shelter? Krishna or our own devices and resources? And it reminds me of a story that was going around a while ago, that there was flooding, like the Govardhan Leela, there was flooding. And, a devout man, he was like praying to God to save him. And then, like a life preserver came floating by, he let it go. I'm waiting for God to save me. Then a boat came by, he let it go. I'm waiting for God to save me. And eventually the water was rising and rising. He was sitting on the top of his house on the roof. And he was about to be submerged in the rising flood of water. And he prayed to God. You know, I was depending on you. You know, why didn't you help me? And then God said, I sent the life preserver, you let it go. I sent the boat, you let it go. On and on and on about all the ways in which he was trying to help the person. But the person didn't take the help as God's. So, taking shelter of Krishna is very subtle. It really means being in touch with Krishna, what Krishna wants. And that will vary from situation to situation. Once a newspaper reporter asked Srila Prabhupada, I think it was during the beginning of the Pakistan War. Oh. Mohan Panda. I met him when he was a young, innocent son of a panda. Hare Krishna. He took me home for Bridge Basi Roti. So, just to give you an idea of two different approaches. Srila Prabhupada was asked by a newspaper reporter, because the reporter wanted Srila Prabhupada to make a political statement about, you know, the war between India and Pakistan, which Prabhupada did not want to do. And he said, well, what if Yahya Khan were to come right in front of you now, ready to kill you? Then what? And Prabhupada replied, I would think that Krishna wants to kill me, and he's come in this form. So that was one mood of surrender. But then in another situation, another reporter asked Srila Prabhupada a similar situation. What would you do if someone came to attack you? Would you defend yourself? And Prabhupada said, yes. Why should I let some rascal harm Krishna's devotee? So, there's really no set answer, because surrender means, taking shelter means, really knowing what Krishna wants and doing what Krishna wants. And it may be just taking shelter of the holy name and letting the world go on, or it may involve praying to Krishna for the intelligence how to deal with the situation. I mean, that would be there either way. And it may be just take shelter of the holy name, things will take their course, or it may involve some intervention. But yeah, it's a very good question. But generally, when we're dealing with devotees, Trinada Pisunichena, it's good to be humble and tolerant. I'll tell one last story, which I really shouldn't, because not only because of the time, but because it's about using myself as an example. But when I went to chant in Srila Prabhupada's quarters in Vrindavan, my best and only pair of shoes were missing when I came out. So, but I actually did surrender. I mean, it wasn't that big of a thing. And, you know, I knew I'll get along. So, the next morning I came. And, you know, just casually looked to see if they were there. They were not there. So I went in to chant. Then I had to come out to use the men's room. And they were there. At least the exact same model, which is not available in India, and the exact same size. So I thought, should I take these? Anyway, I can't say for sure they're mine. It could be a coincidence. So I just borrowed them and I put them back. after I was... And then I thought the only way to find out... This is like justice, you know. The only way to find out is to have someone wait until the person comes for his shoes. So I was with a nice devotee there, Dharmatma, so he waited. So then I went inside to chant, and my japa was extremely disturbed. It was extremely disturbed. And I thought, I mean, yeah, if it was like some stray thief just wandering around the compound looking for shoes, that would have been different. I thought, this is a devotee. He's chanting in Prabhupada's quarters. Why, if he wants those shoes, why should I deny them? And I thought of Vasudev, the leper, who had oozing sores on his body and worms were feeding off of the liquids coming from his body. And if a worm fell down, he would pick it up and put it back on. And I thought, this is our line. And he's a devotee. He's chanting. He wants the shoes. Why should I begrudge him the shoes? And it would be embarrassing to, you know, ask him too many questions. So this was, I guess, all I can say is good luck in taking shelter of Krishna, because you never know what it will mean. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj, for this very reflective sharing, this very reflective situation with a common issue in India, the shoe issue, and making the surrender part very, very pragmatic, I would say. Also, Bhujan Prabhu, thank you. It was a wonderful question and answer session. Thank all of you for your very serious questions. Gopal Tapani Upanishad says that Mathura is that place where Krishna manifests if one chants. That means takes on the bhakti sadhana. Just like when you churn milk, and you churn and churn and churn, then you will actually see how butter begins to manifest. So in the same way, if here in Mathura, you do a little churning, a little shravanam and kirtanam, Krishna will arise in your heart. We want to invite you now to engage in a little churning session where you sit with devotees and discuss a certain subject. This is a very important session. It's a little bit closing the retreat because you have heard so much that now it's time really to go inside and see what of those subjects which you have heard is to be emphasized in your life. What is special? Or the experiences which you had. What of those experiences, which one of those experiences is something you would like to share with others? See, we have all been engaged in churning our hearts for 6 days now. Is it six or how many? Is it six? Yes. Churn, 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 churn. Many things have come up. Some, in a way, even embarrassing for us. And now it's time to focus and concentrate on those treasures. So I request you to form groups of three this time. And then when you have done so, we will give you a little thing to churn with, to churn your heart. So please turn around, find your neighbors, and build groups of three.